with you, okay? Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to CBY's Base Medrash program series with Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. One of the great skills I have besides attending this year is getting to introduce the Rav. There's definitely, you know, a special skills for all of us in the Bergen County area to be able to live in Rav Moshe Tzvi's neighborhood, but to hear Shirim is very, very special. Going into Adar and leading up to Pesach, we always like to be spiritually elevated and have a great keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can think of no other Rav person to inspire us. And B'kol Godol, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg.
Okay, good evening everyone. Thank you, Henry, for pushing me to do another series in the nicest way possible. And of course I want to just thank, of course, the shul for allowing us to continue to learn together. And to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to start a new series. And to thank each and every one of you for coming out as we begin an exciting new series together. I like this new format very much, where we pick topics that are really essential topics that we don't think about very often. And I'm sure many of us say the Sheish Zechiros. We get to the end of the davening in the back of the Archival Siddur, the end of Shachris, and all of a sudden you see a page before you that says there are six Zechiros, six things we're supposed to remember or not forget on a daily basis. And the truth is, you start to think about what these six things are and sort of what their role is in the history of Klal Yisrael. Each one is a tremendously important thing. And I don't know that I've stopped to think about them enough. So I was hoping that we would spend 6 weeks, with a little break for Purim in the middle, but 6 weeks, each week, trying to explore one of these major, major events of Klal Yisrael's history. Some of them are more obvious as to why it's a major event. Tonight we're going to talk about Kabbalah Satorah, Maimed Har Sinai. And then the Torah also tells us that almost in the same breath, right? Remember what happened with Miriam. And we need to understand why that was such a significant event. Cheder Egel is clearly very significant. So we have to try to understand what makes these six things so special, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to constantly be thinking about them, to constantly be remembering them, or in some cases not forgetting them. Now, where do we get the six from? Just to be fair, there are smaller lists that are compiled. The Magen Avraham brings from the writings of the Arizal. He talks about four things we're supposed to remember. The Chidah, if you have a nice Sephardi sitter, you can put together 10 things or 14 things. And the Torah, many places where it says Zachor, to remember something. What's unique about these six is that, number one, it's printed in the Archival Siddur, so that's something that's convenient for many of us. But more than that, the Rambam lists as two of the mitzvos, connecting and remembering Shabbos, living with Shabbos, and remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Ramban takes him to task, and the Ramban says, you missed four other ones. And really, the six that we're going to talk about are really based on the Ramban's enumeration of these six things, as being critical mitzvos, actually counted as part of the 613 mitzvos. There's a mitzvah to remember what happened with Miriam. There's a mitzvah to remember Amalek, or not to forget that which Amalek did. There's a mitzvah, in the case as tonight, to remember what happened at Har Sinai. And a Jew has to live with that and constantly think about that. So that's really where this number six comes from. It's the Ramban's calculation. Again, we could certainly argue to add more to the list. There are those who would argue that there are really less on the essential list. But with that, let's begin. So tonight we're going to talk about Maimed Har Sinai. Now, what it meant to be at Har Sinai, to think about what it means to remember and to never forget that once upon a time the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai. So let's stop and think about something that, again, we should probably all know a lot about, and maybe we don't think about often enough. What exactly happened at Har Sinai? So, if this was an Isha Torah seminar, we could probably go for many hours trying to spell out the basics of Judaism. What exactly took place at Har Sinai? And it's very worthwhile for us to do that, to think about that. But Bekitzer, if someone were to ask you in one sentence, tell me what happened at Har Sinai. So you could say we got the Torah, that's true. But what was the unique thing that happened at Har Sinai? In one line. If someone asked you, stopped you on the street and said the Jewish people had an experience at Mount Sinai, how would you define that experience? Let's hear it.
We heard and saw the directly God.
Okay, so exactly. It was a direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was experienced by every man, woman, and child. A direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that the unique thing about Har Sinai? That every single person was able to stand together and have a communal and yet personal encounter with God. Because that's the unique claim of the Jewish people. The Torah itself says, there never will be anyone else who claims to have had such an experience. In Parshas Va'eschanan, in Perek Dal, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Pasuk says, Hashama am kol alokim medaber mitoch ha'esh. Has any other nation claimed, as a nation, as a people, again, as a tzibur and as individuals, to have such an encounter, that they heard the word of God speaking to them, mitoch ha'esh, from within the fire, ka'asher shamata, as you have heard? Now there's one final step. Ka'asher shamata ata vayechi, and to live to tell the tale. The chiddush of the Jewish people is that every man, woman, and child, the entire nation stood together, communally and personally. They experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very real way. They heard Hashem, they saw Hashem on some level, whatever that means, but it was clear to them that they were encountering Hashem. And there's no other nation that has ever claimed to have such an experience, and certainly hasn't claimed to have had that experience and survived to tell the tale. We could dig up. There are, you know, in the 15,000 or so recorded religions of history, we only know a handful probably, right? But there are those that claim to have experienced mass revelation, but no one lived to tell the tale. And we just, you know, we know about it however we know about it. The chiddush of the Jewish people is that what? That they were shamata, they heard a HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayechi. Has any other nation ever experienced such a thing? And it's a rhetorical question. The answer that the Torah is begging for us to say is no, absolutely not. No one else has ever experienced that. No one else claims to have experienced that. It's an unparalleled claim. So for example, Islam would claim that Muhammad had a series of private conversations that took place in a cave, and God spoke to the Prophet, to Muhammad, and he wrote it down, and that wisdom is recorded in the Quran. So should I trust him? Maybe yes, maybe no. But certainly, it's more believable and it's much more difficult to fabricate such a claim that the Jewish people have. And again, it's a unique claim for that very reason. Because you can't really make it up. And again, there's a lot to discuss. This was a series on Emunah. We could debate the proofs or lack thereof for the authenticity of the Har Sinai experience. Right? But just the fact that it's a unique claim in history, that the other world religions, the greatest religions, the largest religions in the world today, won't dare to make such a claim, says something very unique about the Jewish people. What maybe you'll say Moshe is the same thing, Lahavdil Chas V'Shalom, as Muhammad or Yashka. Maybe you'll say that we had our prophet who was transmitting things as well. So the Rambam very clearly dispels that notion in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah in the 8th parak. The Rambam says, do you think we believe in the Torah because of Moshe Rabbeinu? Yes, it's called Torah Moshe. Yes, Moshe is the greatest Navi who ever was. But we don't believe in the Torah. We don't believe in Judaism simply because Moshe told us it's true. That would be no better than, God forbid, believing in the Quran, because Muhammad says that he had a conversation with God, or a series of conversations, teachings that were revealed to him in a cave. Says the Rambam in the 8th parak of Yesodei HaTorah, we believe in the Torah because we saw it with our own eyes. Because the Jewish people, it wasn't any trick that the Navi did to convince us, because then maybe another Navi could come along at a later period with better tricks and better wisdom and try to rewrite the Torah. So I don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu simply because Moshe was an impressive teacher, he was a charismatic individual. The Rambam writes at the beginning of the 8th parak of Yesodei HaTorah, our own eyes saw it, not a stranger, reading an English translation, our own eyes saw, not a stranger's, our own ears heard, and not another's. The revelation at Sinai is the only real proof that Moshe's prophecy was true and above suspicion. It's because we saw as a tzibur that Hashem pointed to Moshe and said, he's an authentic prophet. Had we not heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, as a tzibur, again the unique claim of the Jewish people, then we never would have trusted Moshe, the same way I wouldn't trust any of these other prophets who espoused their ideas and their religion. And that's what the Torah is saying in Devarim Perek Dalet. Hashama am kol elokim midaber mitoch ha'esh. Have you heard as a tzibur? Has there any other nation that claims to have heard the word of God, kasher shamata ata, as you have heard, vayechi, and lived to tell the tale? The Ralbag says a very interesting thing. The Ralbag says, it's an amazing thing that we could survive such a thing. That itself is a chiddush. The fact that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu could present himself to speak to the world, to reveal himself in a way that we haven't really encountered him since, and that the Jewish people could actually undergo. Now, the Gemara tells us they barely survived such an experience. Their souls were flying out of their body each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu enunciated one of the Aseres HaDibros. But the Ralbag said, Yaakov Avinu has an encounter with a Malach and barely survives. And we can point to other passages in Tanakh where people have encounters with Malachim and they're so overwhelmed by it. You have the Jewish people, a simple nation, a slave nation, not long ago, out of Mitzrayim, is able to have a direct encounter and hear the Dvar Hashem, and to actually be able to live to tell the tale. That's the unique claim of the Jewish people. Number one, that we had such an experience. And two, that we were able to survive such an experience, to be able to transmit that experience to the next generation. That's the unique relation. In a nutshell, that's the unique relationship that Klai Yisrael forged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we stood at Har Sinai. But now we're talking about Zechiros. We're talking about what does it mean to hang on to that experience? Because that event took place long ago. And the Torah wants to make sure that such a critical event in history, a unique experience, unique in world history and unique to religion, Bichlal, the unique claim of the Jewish people, shouldn't be lost as time moves forward. So therefore, in Parshas Ve'eschan, the Torah has two critical psukim, which become the focus of our shir tonight. Two psukim in Parshas Ve'eschan. If you want to grab a chumash, you can follow along. You can just listen. That's also good. In Ve'eschan, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tesen Yud. Perek Dalet, Chapter 4, Pasuk Tesen Yud. Ra ki shomer lecha ushmor nafshecha mod. Guard yourself very, very carefully. Pentishkach es advarim asher ra'u einecha. Lest you forget that which your own eyes saw. Upen yasur mil vavecha. God forbid it will leave your heart. I saw once an interesting pshat. There was a rabbi by the name of Rav Katzin Ellenbogen. Shaul Katzin Ellenbogen. So he said, why does the Torah say, maybe you'll forget it, or maybe it will leave your heart? Pen yasuru milvavcha. So he says, what's interesting about Torah is we talk about Torah as a Torah schaim. It's a living thing. If a person's studying any other wisdom, I don't have to worry that the wisdom is going to pick up and walk away on its own. But the Torah is so alive and so real that I have to, A, make sure that I don't choose to forget it, but I also have to make sure that if I don't treat Torah properly, Torah's going to walk away, so to speak. Pen yisrael milvavcha. Be careful, pen tishkach. Don't forget it yourself. But don't be disrespectful to the Torah, that the Torah's going to want to walk off. It's going to want to wander away from you. It's a Torah's chaim. It's alive. You have to watch it the same way you're watching over a living creature. You're watching it more carefully because it has a mind of its own, so to speak. And that's what the Torah is emphasizing. Guard the Torah so carefully, lest it walk away from you, lest you forget what it was, what the experience was. Kol yimei chayecha, your whole life you need to be guarding it. Vodatim levanecha levnevanach, and transmit it to your children and your children's children. So what is it that we're transmitting? Pasuk Yud. You're transmitting Yom asher amadata lefnei Hashem elokecha b'choriv. The day that Hashem said, gather the people together, again, the unique claim of the Jewish people, bring everyone together, and I will let my word be heard, they'll all hear it. It's not going to be that someone claims that they heard and they're telling you what they heard. You heard it yourself, you saw it yourself. That you should be able to have awe and respect and fear of me over the course of your entire life, and you'll be able to transmit that to your children. This is the mitzvah, this is the zechira, formulated as a lo sase, do not forget. It's not in the positive, right? Zachar, remember, but it says lo sishkach. Guard it, pen tishkach asadar, lest you forget yom asher amarta l'fnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. Lest you forget that great day that you stood in Chorev, which is another name for our Sinai. So what are we not forgetting? Okay, so now let's ask the question. What exactly are we trying not to forget? A lot of things happen at Har Sinai. What are we trying to not lose from Har Sinai? So if you read Rashi and Chumash right there on the spot, in Ve'eschan and Perek Dalet, Rashi says, you want to make sure you don't forget the mitzvos that were transmitted to us at Har Sinai. Because Rashi says, if you're not going to be serious about the mitzvos, you're going to start to forget mitzvos, and you're not practicing the mitzvos properly and seriously, then you're going to become a laughingstock of the nations of the world. Rashi says, very interesting, if you take the mitzvos seriously, then the world's going to have tremendous respect for you. The nations of the world will respect you. But if you forget what you received at Har Sinai, then people of the world are going to say, you're a bunch of shotim, you Jews are a bunch of fools. Where did Rashi get that idea from? How did Rashi infer when it says don't forget that you stood at Har Sinai, that it means don't forget the mitzvot that were transmitted to you at Har Sinai. And we're worried about what the world's going to respond. Either we're going to be a source of pride to the world, the world's going to respect us and see that we're serious about our values, or the world's going to see that we compromise our values. What exactly is going on here? Where did Rashi get this from? So if you look a couple of psukim earlier in Pasuk Vav, you understand the context in which these psukim were stated and where Rashi came from. Pasuk Vav, again, this was Pasuk Tesen Yud, where it says, don't forget what happened at Choriv, at Har Sinai, and pass it on to your children so that you can fear me. So Rashi says, that means don't lose the mitzvos. Where did he get that? And the nations of the world are going to either respect you or not respect you. Because two psukim earlier, in Pasuk Vav, the Torah tells us, Ushmartim vasisem, guard them and do them, ki hi chachmasam uvinaschem leinei ha'amim, because this is a source of wisdom and a source of substance in the eyes of the nations of the world. Asher yishmu es kol achukim ha'ela, when you hear, and hear means internalize, all of these mitzvos, v'amru, and you know what they're going to say about you? Rak am chacham v'navon agoya gadol hazeh. What a great and unbelievably profound, smart, and committed nation. So make sure you keep the mitzvos in Pasuk Vav, because otherwise the nations of the world are going to say that you're not so serious. So says Rashi, a couple of psukim later, Tesen Yud, don't forget what happened at Har Sinai, means don't forget the mitzvos that you learned at Har Sinai, because if you forget the mitzvos, you're going to be the laughing stock of the world. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk. Now Rashi stands for Shlomo Yitzchaki, or Shlomo Ben Yitzchak, but many point that Rashi is also, right, Rashi Tevos, Rabban Shel Yisrael, the greatest teacher of the Jewish people. There's probably no one who teaches more Torah on a daily basis in the world than Rashi. And that was without recording any of his shirim, so that's pretty impressive. Like Rashi is Rabban Shel Yisrael, the greatest teacher of Torah in the world. So whenever we have to argue on Rashi, we do so with a very heavy heart. But the Ramban goes at it with Rashi. The Ramban says, that's just not it. You totally missed it. This is like one of the most important psukim in all of Chumash, and you totally missed the point. The Ramban, when he criticizes Rashi, he says, it's not about what we got at Har Sinai. It's not about don't forget that you got mitzvos and make sure you practice the mitzvos. So people in the street will be able to say that when the Jew leaves his office on Friday a little bit early, it fits in because he's very serious about his mitzvos. He's not compromising, you know, on his values some of the time, but when it's convenient to leave work early, then all of a sudden, right, like the Gemara says, that Haman came to Achashverosh and he's trying to convince Achashverosh why the Jews are so terrible. So he says, these Jews, they always say Pesach Hayom, Shabbos Hayom, right? They're always taking off. They have all these holidays, and every Friday in the winter they have to leave the office early. They have all sorts of things. Right? So if we're consistent about it, so then we can. Then they say, wow, you have values and you practice them seriously. But once we start to compromise our values, the whole system falls apart. So that's what Rashi says. That's what we have to guard so carefully and transmit to our children. Be serious about mitzvos. The Ramban says, in criticizing Rashi, Ve'eino nachon klal. This is not correct at all. Now the Ramban argues on Rashi all the time, and he argues on Ibn Ezra, and he argues on the Rambam. Whenever you learn the Ramban, you kind of get an overview of what all the Rishonim say. So the Ramban is not afraid to argue. And many times throughout his commentary, he says, I don't think this is Nachon. But when I saw this Ramban, Ve'eino Nachon Klal, it's completely, Rashi, you're completely wrong. I said, I had to run a computer search on this and see if he, does Ramban talk like that? There's only one other place I found the Ramban's commentary where he says, Ve'eino Nachon Klal. Parsha Shlach, he says in one place. But it's much more assertive than just Eino Nachon. You know, this, I don't think this is the truest pshat. Eino Nachon Klal means Rashi. Again, it's hard to say such a thing, but Rashi, you totally missed the point. Eino Nachon Klal, what you're saying is totally incorrect. That's not at all what Hashem wants us to remember about our Sinai. So, what is it that we're trying to remember about our Sinai? According to Ramban, what is it that we're not forgetting about our Sinai? He says, first the Torah told us the mitzvot, Rashi. Rashi was following the trail. That's correct. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Dalet. The Pesukim right before tell us Hashem wants us to be serious about mitzvos. But that's not what we're trying to not forget about Har Sinai. Says the Ramban, after it taught us the mitzvos, the Torah comes back and it tells us, Chazer va'amar, Rakani mazhircha ma'od, lishamaru lishmor atzmacha ma'od ma'od, lizkor me'ayin bo'e lecha mitzvos. Don't just remember the mitzvos. Of course remember the mitzvos. Also, practice the mitzvos. But that's not what we're remembering about Har Sinai. We're remembering Me'ayin Bo Elecha Mitzvos. How did you get the mitzvos? From whom did you get the mitzvos? What was the context by which you received the mitzvos? We're remembering the Har Sinai experience, the entirety of the experience. What was the highlight of the Har Sinai experience? Shelo tishkach mayim et Har Sinai, he says. Don't forget the great mayim, that unique moment when the Jewish people stood around the mountain all together and communally heard God speak. Yes, the details of what he said are very important. But reflect on the fact, tell your children, and mean it when you say it to them, that we heard God speak. No one else has that claim. That we heard a Kadosh Baruch Hu speak to us. Asher ro'ei necha. Talk about what you saw with your own eyes. Hakolos v'alapidim. You saw the sights and the sounds, the fireworks, the unbelievable performance that Hashem performed for the world at Har Sinai. Es kvodov, es godlo. How you saw the honor and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's what's so special about Har Sinai. V'dvar v'asher shemata sham mitoch esh. Talk about, tell your children, again, you're going to have to transmit the details of what it means to be a Jew. But the big picture of that, the fact that you heard Hashem speak in such an unbelievably revealed way. V'todia kol ha'dvar v'asher ro'ei nech. Tell all the details of the ma'imid ha'nichbar ahu. Tell it to your children ad olam, for all generations. And if you want to know why your children need to know about this, because if your child's able, and your grandchild and your great-grandchild can close their eyes and picture that once upon a time the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, says the Ramban, exactly what the Pasuk tells us. That what? That you'll learn to what? I don't like to translate the word yira as fear, even though it means fear, but you'll have awe, you'll have respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If your children can really believe that God once spoke to them, and God becomes real to them in that way, they'll have tremendous respect, they'll have tremendous awe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'll walk down the street, different people. Yes, they also need to keep all the details of the Torah and mitzvos. But if they can picture what it was like for the Jewish people, to close your eyes and to picture that you once stood at that mountain, then Baneichem will what? Will learn to keep, will learn to respect the HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all time. Im kein asu atem kocha va'al tishkechu aso. And therefore make sure that this isn't lost. The experience, the context by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. The Ramban says this is a real mitzvah. This is not just, again, a general statement, keep all the mitzvahs. The Ramban says, no, in addition to keeping all the mitzvahs, there's a specific mitzvah to remember what happened at Har Sinai. To have Yiras Hashem, asher yilmadun lira usi kol hayamim. That you'll be a God-fearing person because you met God. You had an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Ramban didn't only pick on Rashi, wouldn't be fair. The Ramban also picked, I told you, on the Rambam. Because when the Rambam put together his list of 613 mitzvos, the Rambam didn't put this on the list. Maybe he understood like Rashi, that this is just, again, a general statement saying, keep all the mitzvos, remember Har Sinai means remember the mitzvos that took place at Har Sinai. So when the Rambam put together his 613, he does not count as one of the 613 mitzvos, don't forget Har Sinai. So the Ramban records a list of mitzvos that he thinks the Rambam missed. And he says in mitzvah sheni shinimno, the second mitzvah that the Rambam failed to count, shelo nishkach maimed Har Sinai. Rambam, you forgot to count the mitzvah, the lo saaseh, right, the negative command of don't forget what happened at Har Sinai. V'lo nasiro so midateinu, and don't remove it from your mind. Aval yu einenu v'libeinu sham kol hayamim. That my eye and my heart should always be connected to Har Sinai, never taking my eye off of Har Sinai. V'hu amri yis'ala, he shamar l'cha v'shmor nafshach, and he quotes our psukim. V'akavana b'zeh gedol l'ma'od. Says the Ramban, again writing now comments on the Rambam, the intention of this is very great. Listen to what he says. Shem hayu divrei Torah ba'am etzleinu mipi navi. Because if we only believe in the Torah because a great charismatic leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, told it to us, O cholem chalom, or someone told me in a dream that this is what they were was revealed to them. So then what's going to happen? Bizman min azmanim, time will go forward, and you'll meet another charismatic leader who has a totally different system of living. And you'll constantly be flip-flopping and changing from one system of living to another system of living. And that's not Torah. Torah is nitzchi, Torah is eternal. So why do I believe in the Torah? So says the Ramban, but if we all share with our children that I don't only follow this because someone told it to me, but because I saw it myself. Now to be able to transmit it, again, we're going to run into the problem that we weren't actually there. Yes, Chazal say, spiritually our neshamas were there, but it's hard. It gets harder as time goes on to say to my child, and to really mean it, and to say it clearly, we stood at Har Sinai. So your child says, when was the Torah given? You say, a couple thousand years ago. So you weren't at our Sinai. So you have to be able to be a part of that unbreakable chain that goes back to the person who actually saw it, to be able to convey it to the next generation with such a clarity as if they saw it with their own eyes. That's a hard task. And that's what the Torah is saying. Hishamr lecha, be very serious about this. Count this as a very serious mitzvah. Because again, if my only reason I believe is hearsay, if the hearsay is my parents, or the hearsay goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that someone else will come and he'll say, I heard something else. Something else was revealed to me. I had a very profound dream. It was crystal clear that God was speaking to me. And he said, we should change the whole system. That's the danger of breaking this chain. That it shouldn't be, he says, al yad sheni. It shouldn't be something that's what? That's passed to you in a, you know, like something that's been poured from one kli to another kli. That there should be a doubt about it. It has to be as if I saw it with my own eyes. And I have to relay it to my children so that they feel that they saw it with their own eyes. And the Ramban says, therefore, Rambam, you missed a critical mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to make sure we don't forget it. And he ends by saying, the Bahag agrees with me. The Baal Halachos Gedolos agrees. This is in fact a mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvahs. Do not forget what happened at Har Sinai. So how do we explain the Rambam? We always have to defend the Rambam, the holy Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam count this? Why didn't he add it on his list? So, in the spirit of Adar, one of the commentaries on the side of the Rambam is called Megillas Esther. And the Megillas Esther, which is a commentary on the Rambam, it's also Megillas Esther, but it's also a commentary on the Rambam, he says, I'll explain to you why the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah. Don't think badly of the Rambam. He also knows this is very important. The reason the Rambam didn't count it is because, listen to what he says, nearly, ki mashalo mana harab, that which the Rambam didn't count, don't forget Har Sinai, lefisha gamzos hi mitzvah koleles kola Torah kula. The Rambam sometimes doesn't count things that are what? That are just so big and so broad, it's not, you can't count it as a specific mitzvah. The Rambam may be left off the list because this is like mamish everything. This is like the overarching principle of everything. Because if you don't have this, then you can't get the ball rolling, and you can't keep any of the mitzvahs. So maybe the Rambam didn't count it, because what? The Hainu Inyan HaTorah Kula, because it's the entirety of the Torah. It can't be counted as a specific mitzvah. Okay, it's a nice defense of the Rambam. And there are others who agree as well. There are others who say the Rambam didn't put it on the list, because again, it's such a broad mitzvah. Maybe the Rambam didn't count it for a different technical reason. The Karen Ora, one of the Achronim in Maseches Brachos, and Daf Yud Zayin, says maybe the Rambam didn't count it, because how do you do this mitzvah? How do you do not forgetting? What's the action? Right? Well, there really is no action. Those mitzvot that say zachor, very often that means zachor b'peh. You have to at least say something. You have to talk about it. Zachor es yom haShabbos l'kadsha. Zachor amalek. We have to do. We have to verbalize something. Here it says don't forget. So we're not being told specifically to even verbalize something, and therefore maybe for that technical reason the Rambam didn't count it. But don't think that the Rambam didn't value this. You don't think the Rambam valued that Jews should be able to close their eyes and picture themselves standing at our Sinai? Of course he did. How do we know that the Rambam felt exactly the same way the Ramban did about the significance of this mitzvah? Whether you count it or not is a technicality. How do you know the Rambam believed with all his heart and soul that a Jew has to be able to close his eyes and picture our Sinai? And to make sure that his children and grandchildren can do the same? Because the Rambam, around the year 1172, wrote a very famous letter, the Igeres Tema. He wrote to the community in Yemen that was getting into all sorts of trouble because there was a false messiah running around, creating some type of hybrid religion of Islam and Judaism. And they were having all sorts of confusion about how Mashiach works. And it was turning into all sorts of issues of a crisis of faith. So they wrote, one of the leaders of that community in Yemen wrote to the Rambam and said, Maimonides, you got to help us out. We're lost. And the Rambam penned his famous, or maybe it was a series of letters, the Igeres Tema. And he writes in the Igeres Tema, a Jew has to remember Har Sinai Tamid. We always have to be grounded in the Har Sinai experience. The Gam is Hiranu Milashacho. Oh, so don't forget it under any circumstance. Don't lose sight of it. V'tzivanu l'lamidaso levanenu, to make sure we teach it to our children. Kedeshi gadu al Talmudo, they should be raised mamish at Har Sinai. Kilu, they're growing up at Har Sinai. And listen to how he ends the sentence. V'roi lachem. It would be fitting for you, Achenum, our dear brothers in Yemen, Shetigadlu b'necham al hamayim rahu hagadol. Raise your kids at Har Sinai. Make sure your kids can close their eyes and be at Har Sinai. V'tisapru b'toch hakal. Get people together the same way the Jews got together at the mountain. Get the seaboard together and tell the stories of Har Sinai. Ve'eda gdulasa, right? This great gathering and testimony to testify to the fact that what? The Hiduro and all of the details, the beauty of our Sinai, Shehu Amud Sha'amuna Sovevis Alav. Because this, thank you. Because this is the pillar, the Rambam says, that all of our Amuna depends upon, that rests upon. So the Rambam certainly believed that not forgetting our Sinai is significant. Maybe he thought it was so significant that he didn't count it. Or maybe there was a technical, halachic reason that he didn't count it. But the Rambam certainly believed that if a Jew is going to be a successful Jew in this world, he has to be able to see himself as a direct continuation of that which the Jewish people experienced at our Sinai. To think about it, and to live with it, and to transmit it to our children. I give a shiur every week in YU. I give it again Shabbos morning in Shemi Shmuel. Sakachava Rebbe's writings in Shemi Shmuel. So a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Yisro, he had the following comment. He asked the following question in Parshas Yisro. The first two psukim in Perek Yutes and Yisro seem to be out of order. The pasuk says, "B'chodesh Hashlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, B'yom Hazeh Bo'u Midbar Sinai." It was in the third month, in the month of Sivan, that what? That the Jewish people arrived in Midbar Sinai. They came to the Sinai desert. That's pasuk Aleph. Perek Yutes, pasuk Aleph. Listen to the next pasuk. Vayisu mirafidim. They traveled from Rafidim. Vayavo Midbar Sinai. Oh, and by the way, they came to Midbar Sinai. So if I was writing the Torah, Mechilas Kvod, the creator of the universe, I would have put those two pasukim in the other order. I would have said, where did they travel from? And then I would write where they got to. I would say, Vayisu mirafidim, pasuk Beis first. They left a place called Rafidim. And then I would write, oh, pasuk Aleph, by the way, it was Rosh Chodesh Sivan when they arrived at their new destination, which was Sinai. Why is it out of order? So the Shemi Shmuel says an amazing thing. Shemi Shmuel says, how do a bunch of slaves even dream about getting to Har Sinai? Let's say they knew they were supposed to head to Har Sinai, which they did. Because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu when he first met him that the Jews are going to go through all sorts of things. And eventually, we're going to meet back up. We're going to meet back up by this mountain. So the Jews know, yeah, the Jews have heard, we're heading to Har Sinai. Okay. But God wants to talk to us. We're a bunch of slaves. We're never going to make it to Har Sinai. So you know what they did? What they did was they pictured themselves standing at Har Sinai before they ever came to Har Sinai. They started to get into the mental state, could we imagine ourselves at Har Sinai? Before we have to actually stand there and hear God speak, can we even dream about being at Har Sinai? Can we picture ourselves at Har Sinai? So says the Shemi Shmuel, that's what's happening in these psukim. The second pasuk that says that they actually traveled and came to Midbar Sinai, that's telling the true story as it played itself out. But pasuk Aleph is the Jews thinking about Har Sinai. B'chodesh Hashlishi letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, b'yom hazeh bo'u Midbar Sinai. They're already dreaming what it would be like, and the Shemi Shmuel says that the fact that they were thinking about it and wanting to be by Sinai, that actually brought them to Sinai. That gave them the strength, that koach of the imagination, of picturing Har Sinai, gave them a newfound belief that, you know what, maybe we could actually stand there one day. If you're not going to dream about it, it becomes very hard to ever achieve it. But if you're thinking about it and you're imagining it, what would it be like to be there? Then there's a hope that a person can actually get there. So the Shemi Shmuel says, every Shabbos, every week, we're dreaming about Shabbos. All day, right? Monday I'm already thinking about Shabbos. Tuesday I'm thinking about Shabbos. Depends on what your job is, I guess. Different people are, right, longing for Shabbos earlier in the week. Become very religious in this way, right? But by Wednesday, certainly everyone, even the Shir Shal Yom, is part of the Psukkim of Shabbos. By Thursday, we're thinking about Shabbos. Friday, oh, it's almost, right? Yom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Yom Sheni b'Shabbos. We connect our whole week to Shabbos because that's where I want to be. And you know what? I'm going to get there. And then the Shemi Shmuel ends the piece by saying, "V'ulai nami zechiras maimed Har Sinai hu mitamza." Maybe the Torah's mitzvah, never to forget Har Sinai, is the same idea. What does he mean? It's the same idea. It's the same idea. What? The Shabbos mashal I get on Tuesday. I'm having a rough week. My boss is giving me too many assignments, right? Or I'm not making enough deals. So I'm already thinking, I'm ready for Shabbos. I got so many annoying emails today, I'm ready for Shabbos. And I've experienced Shabbos, and I know Shabbos comes around every week, so I have what to look forward to. But what does it mean that Zechiras Maimed Har Sinai operates in the same way? That what? That every day I'm thinking about Har Sinai, and I'm actually going to get back to Har Sinai? Am I actually going to come to stand at Har Sinai? It begs the question, what does it mean to live with Har Sinai? What are we transmitting to our children? How do I help my child, and how do I help myself on a daily basis to stand at Har Sinai? That's a hard thing to do. How do you hold on to the experience of Har Sinai If my own eyes never Shabbos, I've experienced. I know what Shabbos is. I can look forward to getting back to Shabbos when I'm standing on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. What am I trying to connect to when I think about Har Sinai? There's a medrash, there's the Yalkut Shimoni, that says every year when we read Parshas Yisro, Hashem says, you read the story of Sinai, and it'll be, I will count it as if you're standing at Har Sinai. Okay, so once a year we come to Shul, and we hear the Torah reading about Maimon Har Sinai, and the medrash says Hashem gives you credit as if you're standing at Har Sinai. So that's what it means to go back to Har Sinai. How often am I supposed to be thinking about Har Sinai? Don't forget, is that something that I'm living with on a daily basis? So I think the answer is that it's a lot easier than we think. That living at Har Sinai, while we may not exactly know how to close our eyes all the time and picture ourselves standing at Har Sinai, but the truth is, Klal Yisrael never left Har Sinai. The reason that I'm constantly reminding myself about Har Sinai and trying to connect Har Sinai, because I still live at Har Sinai. A Jew lives at Har Sinai. How do we live at Har Sinai? So I'll tell you a beautiful insight from Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler said, why is it when we celebrate the Yom Tov Shavuos, there's no specific mitzvah hayom? On Pesach, we have all sorts of mitzvahs. We get into the Pesach spirit. We eat the matzah, the maror, Karban Pesach ideally, Sukkis, we have a sukkah, we have a lulav and esrog. What's the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah hayom? What did you say, Lenny? Cheesecake? Cheesecake, okay. No? I think we all agree to that, right? It's borderline minhag and mitzvah, right? Eating cheesecake on Shavuos. But there's no mitzvah on Shavuos. It's a strange thing. Such an important day. Kabbalah, Satorah, Shavuos. We don't have a mitzvah. There's no specific mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to stay up all night? It's a minhag. What's the mitzvah? What do we do special on Shavuos? So Rav Aaron Cutler writes in the Mishnah Sirbi Aaron, you know why you don't need a special mitzvah on Shavuos? You know why we don't have some type of thing to just remember that long ago we stood at Har Sinai? Because if Har Sinai is just a throwback to something that happened a couple thousand years ago, then you're not living with Torah the way you're supposed to be living with Torah. Every single time a Jew sits down and picks up a Chumash, picks up a Gemara, opens a Rashi, Ramban, whatever it is that you're looking at, when a Jew encounters Torah, he has to be able to put himself back at Har Sinai. We don't have to remember when we left Mitzrayim long ago. So that's something we need to remember. But when it comes to Kabbalah, to Torah, we're mekabel the Torah every single day of our life. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I saw there's a Torah journal called Pa'amei Torah. The Kovetz Pa'amei Torah, Tafshin Chav Beis. What would it be that? 1962. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach asked a very similar question. He says, why doesn't the Torah itself tell us to celebrate? Forget a special mitzvah. The Torah doesn't even acknowledge that it's a special day. When the Torah describes the Yom Tov Shavuos, it has nothing to do with Kabbalah Satorah. We know that there's an overlap between the two. Most people, if you ask them what's Shavuos about, they'll tell you it's about receiving the Torah. But if you open a Chumash, that's not what it's about. It's part of the agricultural cycle. So why doesn't the Torah even acknowledge we should celebrate the receiving of the Torah? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, because if we're going to pick a day in the calendar, we're going to say, this is the day where we celebrate, where we really try to close our eyes and remember what it was like to be at Har Sinai, then we're undermining what Har Sinai was supposed to be. Because Har Sinai is supposed to be something I can do every single day of the calendar year. I close my eyes and I go back to Har Sinai. That every single day when I open up Torah, it's as if I'm receiving it for the first time at that moment that I'm standing at Har Sinai. The Kli Yakar in Parshas Amor has a beautiful comment that I think fits perfectly with this Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Because when we bring the carbon on Shavuos, the Torah refers to it as what? As a mincha chadasha l'Hashem. Count the 49 days of the Omer and bring an entirely new sacrifice to Hashem. Again, the Torah is not uttering a word about Kabbalah Satorah. But the Kli Yakar says, you know what the mincha chadasha to Hashem is that coincides with Shavuos? Every single time a Jew learns Torah, it's a mincha chadasha l'Hashem. Because every single day it's possible for a Jew to stand at Har Sinai, to come back to Har Sinai. When we say Birchas HaTorah on a daily basis, the Torah writes in Siman Mem Zayin, or Chaim Siman Mem Zayin, when you say the Bracha, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Am, when you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you selected us, V'nasan Lanu, you gave us your Torah. I'm supposed to close my eyes when I say that Bracha? I just saw this Torah for the first time this week. I did it for the first time this morning. It was a great experience. Not just to say Birchas HaTorah because you're not allowed to learn before you say Birchas HaTorah, but to close your eyes and to go back to Har Sinai and to try to picture, like the Ramban said, not just the details of the mitzvah, but picture the context of God speaking to the world. That Hashem, with the beautiful sights and sounds, was speaking to Klal Yisrael to close your eyes and to learn Torah in such a way. In 1987, Rav Shlomo Volbi, the great Mashkiach, came to the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and he was giving an address. And he was speaking about what it means to stay connected to Har Sinai. And he quoted from the famed Mashkiach of Mir, Rav Yerucham Levavitz, and he said the Mashkiach of Mir, who was his Rebbe, whenever he refers to the Mashkiach, he's referring to Rav Yerucham. Rav Volbi said, the Mashkiach used to say that when we learn Torah, we have to learn it Maimid Har Sinai Dik. That's how a Jew learns Torah. Whenever we learn Torah, we have to learn it Maimid Har Sinai Dik. Which means I'm not sitting in a base medrash in Tinak. I'm sitting at the foot of Har Sinai, and I'm listening to Hashem transmit the Torah to me, and it's a mincha chadash al Hashem. It's as fresh as can be. It's the freshest thing in the world, because the voice of Har Sinai never stops speaking in the world. How do I know that that's true? I gave you a couple of nice ideas, but I can bring you a pasuk in Chumash that says it mefurash. The pasuk in the Torah says in Vaschana in Parakeh, as a dvar me'ila dibra Hashem el kol kahal chibahar. Hashem said everything that we've been discussing. Hashem said to you at the mountain, "Mitoch ha'esh ha'anan va'arafel," from within the fire, from within the cloud, and the darker cloud. And what was that voice of Hashem? Says the pasuk, "Kol gadol v'lo yasaf." Unkelus says yasaf means pasik. A kol gadol, a great voice that lo yasaf, that never stops speaking. Hashem's voice can still be heard in the world today. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, there's a great dayan in London. In his earlier years, he was involved, he was part of an underground Torah network in communist Russia, and he was involved in trying to teach Torah, the terrible crime of teaching Torah, and he got arrested, and he was sentenced to 5 years of harsh labor in Siberia. He ended up being there for a long period of time. There's many stories from that time period. But imagine one of these you know, hardened officers, right, who was interrogating him. They tortured him, and they beat him, and they interrogated him. So at one point, and they were trying to get information. There was no information. There was no secret plot to overthrow the government. He was literally teaching Jews Torah. That was his entire crime. So this officer gets up in his face, and he starts screaming in his face to try to scare him, to try to crack him. And he starts screaming in Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky's face, "Have you ever heard such a loud voice in your life?" Right? Trying to scare him. And Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, cool as ice, he looks him in the face, and he says, "Yes." He says, "In fact, I'm hearing a louder voice right now. It's the voice of God from Har Sinai. That the kol gadol v'lo yasaf, the loud voice that never stopped. The loud voice from Har Sinai that never stopped. So yes, I'm not so intimidated by you, because I heard a loud voice long ago, and like the pasuk said, the purpose of that voice was to stand in awe before Hashem. So I'm not the least bit frightened by you." To be able to tap into the voice of Hashem that's still present in the world. That's what it means to live by Har Sinai. And that's the don't forget Har Sinai. It's not a zecher, it's not a throwback. We don't need the Torah to remind us to celebrate Shuas. We're having Shuas every day. We don't need a special mitzvah sayom, like we do on Pesach or Sukkot, says Rav Aaron Cutler, because we're accepting the Torah every day. Maimed Har Sinai takes place on a daily basis. So I'll just conclude with a beautiful insight from the Yismach Yisrael. The Alexander Rebbe said, the problem that all of us feel, again, but I never was really by Choriv. These are nice ideas, but I never stood at Chorev. I wasn't there. Ah, so you'll tell me, says the Yismach Yisrael, that my neshama was there? That's nice, but I don't really remember that my neshama was there. I believe it. Ani ma'amin b'munah shleim. If Chazal say my neshama was there, I was there. But I don't feel like I was there. So how am I supposed to remember what I saw in Chorev? And the Alexander Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael, said, because every Jew has moments in his life when he feels a connection to Torah, that is his Kabbalah Satorah. Don't be bound. If you're having a hard time attaching yourself back to the actual Kabbalah Satorah, realize that Kabbalah Satorah didn't only take place in Choriv. And when the Torah says, remember what happened to you in Choriv, your Choriv might be in Teaneck, New Jersey. You might hear a shir that inspires you. That's your Kabbalah Satorah. So live with that. And feel Hashem and hear Hashem and let it be so clear and so obvious to you that you're able to say to your child, "I remember the time that Hashem spoke to me. And I remember the time I stood at Har Sinai and I received my personal chelek in Torah. And it may not have been in the wilderness of Sinai. And I may not remember, my neshama may not remember what I saw long ago. But I know that kol gadol v'lo yasaf never stopped, and it can be found and heard anywhere in the world." So Mirtz Hashem, we should be proper messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To receive this message from the generations that came before us, but to take that awesome achrayas, the Ramban says that the Torah was reminded us and doubly reminded us that b'shamer lecha ma'od, be so careful to make sure that this profound experience of Har Sinai is not lost on ourselves and is not lost on our children, And then Yirtzeh Hashem will continue to be mekabel the Torah, and we'll continue to live in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way we'll be zochah to the gula b'mehar b'minah.